Welcome to the midweek Mission Ridge podcast known as Footnotes. Footnotes is here to give you some of the stuff that we didn't have time to cover in the sermon and encourage you to dig in deeper as you study the text. So let's dive in and check out what's in the footnotes.
Welcome to another episode of Footnotes. Glad to have you with us. This week, it's just a little smaller, just a little intimate. Just me and Rob sitting here in the office.
Yes, it is.
We're just me and Rob got you in our hands. We're just going to footnote it up. We have no idea if, you know, if that's comforting to you or not, actually. Like, just in the care of Rob and Logan. My goodness.
I think with all the nice weather, you know, people are out and about, and so it's harder to find people to share this conversation with.
It's true. They're all running about in the nice weather.
Yeah.
There you go. Anyway. So hopefully you're enjoying some sunshine while you're listening to this. I recommend that.
Oh, sunshine's so nice. Good. Yeah.
Sunshine on my shoulders makes me happy. Isn't that a song? I think that's a song.
That's a song. You did it well.
Oh, man. I remembered that song. Look at that.
Yeah.
Who does that song? Is that John Denver?
Oh, that might be John Denver. But yeah, that's straight out of the 70s, I'm pretty sure.
I feel like that's a John Denver.
I think that's
John Denver, and I don't know where I'm gonna blame my mother for me knowing that. Being logged away in my brains.
1973. John Denver. Yes.
Boom, look at that. Shout out to my dad for giving me the brain of a trivial pursuit champ. All right. Anyway, let's dig into footnotes today. We are talking the end of chapter 1 of the book of Acts. So on Sunday, we went through chapter 1, verses 1 through 11.
Yes.
Roughly thereabouts. So Jesus ascended into heaven. And then we wanted to footnote and talk about and pull apart a little bit the second half of that chapter, which is verses 12 through 26. And it ends with they cast lots and decided that Matthias, I'm going to go with Matthias because that sounds better, was going to be numbered with the 11 apostles because they're deciding we lost Judas. Judas was a rapscallion. And then he hung himself. And so Judas is out of the picture now and can't be part of the apostles because no zombie apostles. So
true.
They're like, we need to get our numbers back up to 12. Now, this is right after they had been commanded to go and wait for the Holy Spirit and pray.
Yep.
So they're going to go. So they go and they dedicate to prayer and waiting for the Holy Spirit, right? They're chilling. And somehow they come to this conclusion that they need to add one more to the apostles and make one of these guys that was with them, like, step him up. So there's a couple of thoughts that come to my mind right off the bat.
And what are those?
Well, my first thought reading this is that, wait a second, they're not necessarily supposed to be doing this.
Hmm.
Also, gambling, obviously a sin. So casting lots, check your heart. Yeah. Shout out to John Christ.
And would it be the equivalent of casting lots today?
It'd be like rolling dice or flipping a coin, maybe.
Okay.
That would be how I would compare it to.
Yeah. Can you imagine our church elders doing that? Do we hire Rob or not?
No. The church that I grew up in, one of the churches that I grew up in, at one point, they determined they had two people up for deacon.
Hmm.
I think I remember this correctly. They had two people up for deacon, I think, and they both were perfectly qualified. Nobody was like, there's anything wrong with these two. And they're like,
right,
we don't want to have a vote. There's a popularity contest on this.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Which could I get that.
Yeah. You know, it's a smaller church or whatever, but yeah. I think that's why they decided to do it. And they ended up like, they're like, let's just cast lots for it. So they randomly selected between these two.
Yeah.
And they're like, God is in control of this.
Sure. Sure.
And it was like, there you go. Cool.
Which is something we see, I believe, in Proverbs.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we see that a couple times.
So it's not unbiblical.
Nope, not at all. Not at all. I thought it was really cool. So
yeah,
I make a quip about gambling, but that is a quip, just to clarify.
Well, and in that particular case, I mean, you're preserving relationship because, you know.
Oh, sure.
Like, well, do I vote for Bob or do I vote for Jim? You know, I love both of these guys, you know.
Sure, and like,
secret ballot, even still, I mean, it just raises all kinds of questions, and if they're equally...
Yeah, neither one was disqualified in any way, and right. Neither one of them was like, yeah, I really want it, or yeah, I really want it, so...
Yeah.
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 It made sense.
Did they do best 2 out of 3, or...
No, they just did it.
Okay.
They just did it. I think they named in the hat. They put slips of paper in the hat and pulled one out, if gotcha. I remember correctly.
Okay.
So that's how they...
That works, too.
That's how they made it happen. So there you go.
It works great for, you know, the white elephant gift exchange.
Exactly. If it's good enough for that, then it's good enough for the apostles. Oh, yeah. I don't know about that.
We might be stretching there a little bit. Yeah, so I think you started this off saying that were they supposed to be doing this?
Sure, like, but yeah, and there's nothing wrong with them like choosing in this fashion. But the point is, are they supposed to be choosing somebody when they had just been commanded to go wait and the Holy Spirit was going to come?
It's a great question. I think one of the things to kind of factor in to this too is that. Between Christ's ascension and Pentecost is roughly 40 days.
That's a long time.
But what does 40 days represent to a Jewish mind?
Exodus.
And testing.
Mm-hmm.
Testing. And so
in the desert.
Are you willing to wait? What do you do in that waiting? When you're waiting to hear from God, what does that look like? And we've all dealt with that.
Sure. And end up in that sort of position
for
a season.
Doesn't necessarily add up to 40 days, but there are seasons where I felt, oh, wow, wait a minute. I don't think I've heard from God for a while. What do I do?
Sure.
And, you know, it's raised questions of, did I do something wrong? Am I not being faithful?
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to do something new? Like, how do I get out of this? Because that awkward silence is really awkward when it's God. Mm. At least for Rob. Mm. Might be for you as well.
No, I would. I can echo that, to use a little Christianese. Yeah. A little on there. I echo that.
I echo your echo.
We'll just throw a hedge of protection around that echo. Just keep it all bouncing in there. It'd be great. But one thing that I think we should make a point of is that in verse 14, so they return to Jerusalem after Jesus ascends. And then in verse 14, it says, all with one accord, they were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. Okay, so they're all there and they're devoting themselves to prayer. And that makes me think that I think they're chasing after what God wants. And
right.
For some reason, this is what came to them. And it felt like they needed to do that. Now, we never hear about Matthias ever again, I think. Or if we do, it's like briefly in passing one more time. It's like we do have this whole big thing about picking him and then never really hear much from him again. He's not a big heavy hitter. It's not like Paul. and so there are people that will say that they weren't supposed to pick this. And Matthias didn't really do anything because he wasn't the right person. And they were supposed to be waiting for Paul to come along. Or Saul to come along and become Paul. And he becomes the 12th, right? Now we do know, I think I read somewhere that we do know how Matthias died. They've got he was martyred.
Oh, wow.
I remember reading that last week. I don't remember where I read that.
Wow.
I think it was on an article that was going through all of the, how all of the apostles died, which all but John were martyred, if I remember correctly. pretty horribly in a lot of cases. But with that,
yeah, in from the biblical record, we see Matthias in here twice, and it's in verse, it's both in chapter one. So from a biblical record, we don't see his name come up again. Maybe the early fathers knew of him and,
yeah, and there,
knew,
there could be
knew
some
a
extra,
story beyond yeah. what we have just in scriptures. But yeah, that's an it's an interesting thought. There's some ideas of why this took place, why they felt like this. There's some Jewish context to this. Of course,
the one accord, or
well, just think in terms of why 12, why
oh, sure.
why was that so important to them? It wouldn't be important to me as an American Gentile.
Well, unless you like, okay, you had 12 desks in Jesus's classroom. And then there, you know, Jesus leaves and there's an empty one and you're like, well, this is all we've known. I guess we're supposed to put another one in there.
Yeah.
Like that would be my initial assumption as an American, you know, not thinking, oh, wait, numbers mean things. But plot twist, a twisty plot twist. Numbers in the Jewish world, as we've talked about before, signify a lot of different things.
Yes, it does.
So yes, tell me about 12.
Well, so according to the InterVarsity background, Bible background commentary, InterVarsity Press, the Essene community of the Dead Sea Scrolls chose a group of leaders which included 12 special officials, and it was meant to symbolize, at least to themselves, that this community was the true remnant of Israel. Mm. And since there's some Essene ties between Jesus and his disciples, it's likely that the disciples thought that this was symbolic in representing that Jesus has left something for Israel, and we are going to carry that out. Now, in like fashion, in verse 15, so that comes out verse 14, but in verse 15, according to Jewish tradition of uncertain date, 120 elders first passed on the law in the time of Ezra. Then again, the Dead Sea Scrolls required one priest for every 10 men. So 120 may be the number of people a team of 12 leaders could best accommodate. But there seems to be some connection, and Luke seems to be connecting what's happening here to some other events.
Sure. Well, and so just in general, when you hear 12... as a Jew, you're going to be thinking of the 12 tribes.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, so that's at the core of all this. Your 120, that piques my interest here again, because you've got in verse 15, in those days, Peter stood among the brothers. And then in parentheses, I've got the company of the persons was in all about 120.
Right. Which to, so 12 times 10 or 120 to the Jewish mind is like there's, this is the Jewish community, and it's complete. Like, it's not lacking anything.
Yeah.
So this is symbolic in nature. It's not the number of people isn't as important as what this group represents to the new church.
Hmm.
So like God has prepared these people. Jesus has prepared these people to carry out his kingdom, and it's not lacking anything. Now, people will be added to this over time, but they had what they needed in order to do what Jesus asked them to do. I feel like that's kind of a germane conversation for us, because, you know, do we feel like as a church plant that we have what it takes to do what God's calling us to do? And if we don't believe that, who's going to believe it for us?
Sure. Yeah. Nobody else is. We're the only ones that are going to like, yeah, no, we're the only ones that are going to believe that if anyone is.
Yeah.
And it's tough sometimes.
And that's not limited to those of us on staff, but you know,
no, as a member of the congregation, like anything like that, like while I am on staff, I'm also just a part of Mission Ridge.
Right.
And like, even if I wasn't on staff, like being bought in on this, like believing, like, do we actually have like everybody we need? Do we have, knowing, is God going to provide enough for this? Like, that's,
yeah. Yeah.
That's a constant struggle, at least for me.
Is he holding out on us?
Sure.
You know, is there going to be enough? You know, and, you know, we had a meeting last night with our folks, and we were talking about the kinds of things that we have to carry out as a young church. And people stood up to the call to say, yeah, I'm in. I want to be a part of this. And even people that couldn't stay for the end of the meeting were, you know, texting you going,
yeah,
you know, like, we're
sign
in.
Me up.
Sign me up. Let's talk about
anything
my
except
part
for setup. That's aimed at you, Haley. I get it. Like, nobody likes getting up early. It's fine. I'm not salty.
Not salty at all. But yeah, are we complete? Are we sufficient for carrying out what God has called us to in our part here in Missoula? And I think we are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we see over and over in scriptures, God will provide.
Yep.
And it's not always him providing in the way that we expect.
Right.
And I think that is what, at least for me, that's what makes it much more difficult sometimes to believe that, is because I have in my mind, like, this is what it should look like for God to provide. This is what I need. You know, here that I'm holding up, like, this is what I need. I'm convinced of it. And I know everything. Yeah. Like, I'm so knowledgeable. I got this all figured out. I got a plan. This is what I need. And then God comes in. He's like, no, 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 no. What you actually need is over here in this other hand. Yeah. And it's actually this. And it looks absolutely nothing like what you just thought you needed.
Maybe even upside down.
Maybe even completely the opposite. And I'm like, but I had a plan.
Yeah.
And God's like, but mine's better. So like, this is, I've seen that pattern in my life many times.
Right. Right.
And so, like, this wrestle, but it doesn't make it any easier to wrestle with the concept of, like, God providing. Like, I don't think I'm ever going to get good at just, like, yep, God's going to provide. Like, I for me at least, I'm just going to constantly end up in that wrestling match for me. But I think, you know, you keep chasing after that and keep working on believing that. I don't know.
Yeah, and the other side of that too is just our culture, our ethos. Yeah. You know, what do we believe about ourselves? Do we see ourselves as a church that's viable? Do we see our role in the world here in Missoula? Do we look to the person on our right and our left and go, man, I'm glad to be in the fight with them. And that's what I saw on our folks last night. And that was so amazing.
Mm, I agree with that. I agree with that for sure.
So the other thing that you asked about is the word, the verb, or the
one. That when they're praying, they're all one accord. We had talked about what one accord, or one of one heart, or of one mind, depending on your translation of choice.
Yep. One mind, one accord. The word is, and it's Greek to me, but it's homothumadon.
Give me that one more time.
Homothumadon. It's two words that come together meaning of the same passion.
Okay.
What's interesting about this word is it's used 11 times in the scriptures, 10 times in Acts.
11 in the scriptures and 10 of them are in Acts?
11, yep. And wow. Luke, as the author of Acts,
really likes this word.
He really likes this word only in the book of Acts.
Because he doesn't use it in the book of Luke?
He does not.
Wow.
So there is something that Luke is trying to communicate throughout the book of Acts. And, you know, this concept, this idea of the first church having one passion, the same passion.
This is what's driving you.
This is what's driving you, you know.
A unified vision.
Right. Right.
On mission.
And we do talk about in the relational discipleship churches that we've been a part of that having alignment within the church is so critical. And and having the same passion and the same drive and seeing the same target together as a team is so important. You know, I heard someone talking about the Boston Celtics, and last year they went further than they did this year as a team, although last year they were missing a couple of their key players. So the expectations at the beginning of the season were so high. The problem is they were trying to figure out playing time and, you know, who's going to shoot the ball and, you know.
Like, jostling for lead.
Yeah, they were trying instead to figure out who's going to be out in front instead of what's our passion. What can we be of one mind?
Instead of putting the goal out front, trying to decide what person's going to be out front.
Right, right.
There's, I feel like somebody could say that'd preach.
That would preach.
That'll preach. There's a lesson. That's a real life parable right there. Brought to you by the Celtics.
Looking forward to, just as we journey through the book of Acts, just to see how this played out, how having the same passion, the same being of one mind with each other, one accord, how that plays out for the first church and how we can, as a Mission Ridge church plant, live that out for us as well.
Yeah. All right. So let's finish up with a little discussion about, let's actually tear into the word apostle, because I think that'll give us a little insight into maybe, to tie it back to where we started of people not thinking maybe they shouldn't have picked Matthias, right?
Right.
They should have waited till Paul. Because we see this with hindsight, like we're looking at it from the end of the story, looking back and saying, oh yeah, no, we know Paul's coming. We know the Apostle Paul's coming. And we call him the Apostle Paul. And it's like, wait a second. Like the definition of an apostle is like, if you Google it, the first thing that pops up is one of the 12 chief disciples of Christ.
Right. Is Paul a little A apostle or capital A apostle?
Sure.
That's a great question. Yeah, apostle is a messenger, an envoy, a delegate, one commissioned by another to represent him in some way, especially a man sent out by Jesus Christ himself to preach the gospel as an apostle. So it's a messenger, one who is sent. And we know that some 13, 15, 17 years later, Paul is sent out with a message.
Yeah.
But was it wrong for the disciples to choose another person in replace of Judas? And, you know, verse 21 and 22, they talk about what the qualifications are. And there's two. One, therefore, it is necessary that of the men who have accompanied us at the time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So it had to be someone that one was there from the time of the baptism of Jesus.
Yeah, the beginning of his ministry.
Beginning of his ministry.
Through the entire 3 years.
And then also a witness of his resurrection.
Yeah.
And those are key. Like, this is someone that's been in this from day one.
Sure. This is their requirements.
So let me ask you a question. Does Paul meet these requirements that are set forth?
Wah, wah, wah. No, Paul does not. Not even at all.
Not even close.
He doesn't fit either of those.
Yeah.
I mean, he could hypothetically have been there for the baptism. And he could have been through the ministry, maybe.
And at least at the point that they're addressing this question, there's no indication at all that he was a witness of the resurrection. He was later when Jesus reveals himself to him.
Yeah, but that, well, and that's, I think that speaks like,
Paul was not running with them at this point.
No.
Like, Paul was not there for the resurrection. Paul didn't believe in the resurrection. Quite the opposite. Paul was killing people over this.
Right.
Spoiler warning. Or he wasn't Paul at that point, but Saul was killing Christians. We're going to get to that in the book of Acts. Like, that's coming. Oh, snap. That might be the end game. What? Oh, it's two Avengers references. But, like, that's coming. So, I it doesn't make any sense. Like, Paul does not fit. I don't think he fits either of those requirements.
Yeah, so the disciples in this move, and what we see in the latter half of chapter 1, they pray.
Yeah.
They're one accord. They're of one heart, one passion. They identify scriptures. They perform a practice that was recognized in the scriptures by casting lots. They mm-hmm. picked men that had been faithful to Jesus for all of his ministry.
Yep.
And were witnesses of his resurrection. And so
they did everything they could to make the right choice here. And we don't know that they didn't make the right choice.
Right.
Just because Matthias isn't mentioned more does not mean that he wasn't a great apostle. Like, doesn't mean that he wasn't the perfect choice and that's who God wanted. But even if he wasn't, let's just play devil's advocate for a second here. Let's say that they messed something up. Like, they got their wires crossed.
Right.
Like, they misinterpreted what they thought God wanted them to do. I think the possible implication here, like, the fear of doing something wrong. Like, the fear of messing up in that, like, well, I can't do that because I don't want to mess up God's plan.
Right, right.
That is a dirty, dirty lie straight from the mouth of Satan. Because yeah. God consistently shows throughout the story, he likes working with people that are willing to go and do things.
Right, right.
Like, think right. of Jacob. Jacob messed up so many times. But my geez. Goodness, that boy wanted to do things. Like, he was a doer.
He got a lot done.
David, willing to go do stuff. Occasionally screwed things up. Looking at you, Bathsheba.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Abraham. He partnered with Abraham right at the very beginning because Abraham was going to go move.
Yep.
Like, God yep. partners with people that are moving forward. And it's easier to correct your path if there's movement involved.
Right.
And God's going to do that. If you're just sitting there waiting for, I don't know, a giant neon sign saying, go here, do this. I don't know. Maybe some people get those. I've never gotten one of those.
Not neon. Fluorescent maybe, but not neon.
I don't even think I've got a fluorescent. Most of the time there's no sign. I'm just like, all right, I'm going to go this way. And then he's like, nope.
Yeah, God never corrects the disciples. He never chastises them. Mm-hmm. The only assumption that I think we really live by is that Paul comes along and he says, oh, by the way, I'm an apostle. Now, again, is he saying he's an apostle on the level of the 12? He seems to reference that.
Cool. Now there's 13.
But maybe, yeah, I mean, we got stuck with the number 12 because, you know, at that part of the story, 12 mm-hmm. was significant. So maybe a baker's dozen isn't such a bad thing, you know, by the time Paul comes along.
I mean, there was a chance that they were going to be dying, so having a backup probably wasn't a bad thing. That was a moderately dark joke. Right
that
there.
Was that was yeah.
Oh my goodness,
that was 70%.
Dark cacao.
So, when I first read through this, just, you know, breezing through it, I'm thinking, man, never heard of Matthias, you know, before or since. Maybe they made a mistake here. But as I look at it longer, I'm thinking about this differently. And, yeah. These were faithful men and women seeking God's face, pursuing him in prayer, looking at the scriptures, wrestling with what does this look like? How do we live out what God's called us to live out?
Mm-hmm.
And and raising people, equipping people to be leaders, to effectively go and minister and be a witness. I think that's the job of the church. If we could do things well, it'd be putting more people in position to live out their design well and loving on other people well and being a witness about who God is according to their design. And if we do that a lot, I don't think we could go wrong.
I am inclined to agree.
Yeah.
I think that's a completely true statement.
The only other thing that that just kind of stands out in this is how many times women are listed in here, and just, you know, the women had a significant role in the early church. They were there. They were part of the ones that were praying.
We saw this at the end of Mark. We're seeing it again in Acts.
Yeah.
Like, they're here. They're not going anywhere. They're God playing an instrumental role.
Right. Right. There's female teachers identified in the book of
what?
Acts.
What? Happens. Heresy.
Happens. So.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I didn't see the hair. I don't know if it's hair I see. But they might have had a hat on.
Could have had a, yes.
Head covering. Who knows? But
head covering I see.
Possibly heresy. Oh man, that's just a bad joke.
Oh boy.
But I sense that as a conversation brewing. Those are clouds that are brewing on the horizon. But once again, it's just you and me sitting in here, and I want more voices on that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're a voice on that conversation, info@missionridge.church.
And if you have complaints,
rob@missionridge.church. Didn't see that coming.
No. No. Gus has been let off the hook.
Perfect. All right. Well, that about does it for today. So thanks for joining us on another episode of Footnotes, and we will catch you on the flip side.
Peace.
You've been listening to Footnotes on the Mission Ridge Podcast. For more information about Mission Ridge, please visit our website at missionridge.church. Thanks for tuning in. We hope the rest of your week is straight up #blessed, and that you'll join us again next week for more Footnotes.